Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis today for conservatives as usual. And as usual, Jim, we always turn to NBC for our good martinis. At least that's the case today. A new poll from NBC and the Wall Street Journal showing that 55% of Americans think President Obama either missed the message of the midterm elections or is ignoring it. Three-quarters of respondents say there was a very clear message sent by the midterm elections to the president. And if that's not enough, the poll also shows that more than 70% say the next president should take a different approach from the current one. Hopefully that means more to the right, but there's always some outliers there. So, Jim, in addition to all that, there's some more positive numbers in terms of the public's reaction to the Senate Democrats' report on the CIA. So, overall, the message we heard from voters in early November is just as strong right now.
The numbers that really jumped out at me was the more positive feelings towards the Republican Party. It's not terrific numbers, but it's pretty good. And I think it kind of illustrates the concept that, winning begets winning and momentum begets momentum. People like to be associated with a winner, and people feel better about Republicans, in part, I suspect, because they did well in the midterms. Numbers for the Democrats are down pretty considerably. I think the overall theme of this poll, and you can say, look, you shouldn't read too much into this poll. Obviously, it's going to be about 2 years before Americans go back to the ballot box. But it's an ominous outlook for the Obama administration because the American people think that he's not listening. They don't agree with Senate Democrats on torture. They're feeling better about Republicans and not as good about Democrats. And look, job approval is still not so great. People trust the Republicans more on the economy. He's deeply underwater on foreign policy. Only 40% approval on immigration, even after the executive amnesty. These are pretty lousy numbers for the president and much better numbers for Republicans. And that's a pretty easy call as a good martini today.
All right, on to the bad martini for today. And it comes courtesy, actually, of Glenn Kessler from the Washington Post. He was on MSNBC's Morning Joe today, and they asked him what the lie of the year was. He says, we really don't have a lie of the year, but the one with the most significance is the fact that President Obama not only referred to ISIS as a JV team at the beginning of this year in January, but then once ISIS, of course, exploded throughout Syria and into much of Iraq in the summertime, he then tried to say he wasn't referring to ISIS when he made the JV comment earlier in the year. And Kessler says, when you look at the transcript of the interview with The New Yorker, it's pretty obvious that's exactly what he meant. And so 2 years in a row, the president's got the lie of the year, and both of them, Jim, extraordinarily damaging.
When Time magazine named the Ebola doctors as the person of the year, it's a fine choice. If you want to go by the traditional standard of which person, one individual person, had the biggest impact on the news events of the past year, and remember, this is Time, which had named Hitler, Stalin, and Khomeini. So it didn't always have to be a good impact on the news. It was simply who had the biggest impact. Greg, don't you think al-Baghdadi has a pretty strong case to be made that no other person influenced world events as much as he did?
Got to be in the discussion.
And when you start out January as the JV team, and by the end of the year, you're the all-pro of terrorism. You bumped off al-Qaeda as the number one. Look, that's a fantastic year for al-Baghdadi. Bad news for everybody else. He's a horrible human being. We'd like to see him dead. But other than that, so it's kind of intriguing to see that. And Obama's, there was an argument that the lie of the year for PolitiFact was this, people were overhyping the Ebola threat and stuff like that. Obama declaring ISIS the JV team in January and, making his policies and treating ISIS as a JV team is a way more consequential lie than any, chain email going around about Ebola and stuff like that.
On to the crazy martini now, Jim, and it's hard to imagine a movie that certain people don't want you to see. When it comes to, usually see protests if there's a movie that is considered offensive in some way or another, or it is denigrating one religion or the other. There's a lot of times protests and placards and so forth. But none of those groups, at least as far as we know, have resorted to hacking the filmmaker like the North Koreans have. Not only have they obviously gobbled up all their sensitive information, payroll, so now we know that male stars from Sony made a whole lot more than female stars. We've got emails suggesting that a lot of people high up in Sony don't like some of their stars, including Angelina Jolie. There's racist suggestions from some executives. What movies would the president like to see? And they all have like slavery and African-American type themes. And that was obviously horrible for the people at Sony, but most of us didn't feel anything all that personal connected to it. Now you've got these people saying there's going to be theaters attacked when this opens on Christmas Day. So this has potentially gone to a much more serious level, if in fact they're doing more than bluffing here. But this whole episode has been crazy. That's a perfect definition for it.
Those of us who don't work in Hollywood could kind of chuckle about this and say, although there's a part of it would say, look, if you don't want to see movies about Durka Durkistan, or fictional bad guy countries, and you like seeing a movie depicting North Korea as the monstrous regime that it is, then you like seeing, you know, a film like The Interview, even if it is kind of a silly stoner comedy and these guys, you know, two bumbling fools are sent to assassinate Kim Jong-un. So, you know, North Korea throwing a public tantrum about it is somewhat funny. The idea that they're hacking studios in retaliation for making a movie they don't like, that's getting into a sketchier area. And now these hackers are allegedly claiming there's going to be terrorism on Christmas Day at movie theaters that show this movie. You know, this is like one step removed from the Muhammad cartoons of a couple of years ago. They threatened bookstores. It's a bit like the Satanic Verses by Salman Rushdie. This is an effort at censorship, and this is an attempt to use threats of terrorism, and God forbid, but you know, perhaps even actual terrorism, as a way of restricting what kind of movies can be made. And I'm not, you know, it's like I'm madly in love with Seth Rogen and the other guy, but they have the right to make any movie they want. And I think I salute them for making a movie that tells hard truths about terrible regimes like North Korea's. North Korea is trying to take their propaganda war to U.S. theaters and to U.S. cyber infrastructure. This is actually kind of an increasingly serious story. Now, we'll see what happens on Christmas. Hopefully nothing happens. We know from the Detroit underwear bomber that it's not unthinkable for terrorist attacks to be attempted around Christmas time. And oh, by the way, certainly the news has been awful enough in the past couple of days between Pakistan and Australia. So, you know, this is kind of a crazy story and a somewhat funny story, but it may be on the verge of taking a very unfunny turn in the coming days.
Yeah, and if it does go that far, it turns out the plot line might not be all that fictitious, but we'll find out. Jim, we'll have to stop there. Pick it up tomorrow. Talk to you then.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and join us on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.